Okay, good evening. This Shabbos is Parshas Vayechi, the 12th Sedra in Sefer Bereshis, the Siyam of Sefer Bereshis, otherwise known as Sefer HaYoshar, Gemara in Avodah Zarah, based on a pasuk in Yeshua, Haloi Heim Kesuvim Al Sefer Divrei HaYoshar. So Chazal tell us, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, that Sefer Bereshis is called Sefer HaYoshar. So we come to the conclusion of Sefer HaYoshar now, in Parshas Vayechi, otherwise known as Shabbos Chazak. Now we always have a Chazak during a difficult time period, as mentioned many times. There's a Chazak this week, the week of Asara B'Tevis. There's a Chazak during the 3 weeks. Matis Masai is always read during the Tlosa de Paranusa, the Yemei Bein HaMitzorim. And there's a chazak during the Yemei HaSfira, a Shabbos chazak. This Shabbos, Parshas Vayechi, is unique. It's a Parshas Stuma. It's closed. As Rashi, right at the beginning of the Parsha, asks, Lama Parshas Stuma? Because Yaakov Avinu passes away in this Parsha, and as a result, Nistemu Einehem V'Libam Shel Yisrael. The eyes and the hearts of the Jews close. One pshat in Rashi. The other, Shabikesh legalis es haketz lebona venistam mimenu. He wanted to reveal the end, and it was closed. It was concealed from him. In other words, the parasha is a concealed parasha. It's a parasha stumba. But although it's a concealed parasha, it ends as a psuch. It doesn't end stumba. It's not completely closed. When we come to the end of Parshas Vayechi, there's a break between Vayechi and Shemois. There's a break between Sefer Bereishis, Sefer HaYoshar, and Sefer Shemois, Sefer HaGeula. So it's not totally closed. It begins Susuma, but it ends opened. It ends Psucha. So what is that teaching us? What does that mean? And of course, the question that all the Mefarshim ask, why would Yaakov Avinu want to reveal the Ketz? What was the purpose of doing that? Does that mean he was going to reveal when Mashiach was going to come? Does that mean that he was going to tell them that in Tov Shin Ayin Zayin, Yud Beis Teves, Mashiach still wouldn't be here yet? Would that be very encouraging news for his children to hear that it's going to be a few thousand years? What was the purpose of being Megal of the Ketz? Clearly, L'cha'ayra, that's not what he wanted to reveal. There are those who learned that he wanted to reveal to them when they were going out of Mitzrayim. Some learned that's the pshat, even though that they really knew, based on that which Hashem told Avraham Avinu, how many years they were going to be in Mitzrayim. Perhaps he was going to reveal to them that it wasn't going to be a full 400 years, it was going to be 210. Why exactly, though, would he want to be Megala the Ketz? In this parasha, there are a number of topics. There's, of course, the topic at the beginning where Yaakov Avinu is begging Yosef to bury him in Eretz Yisrael, not to allow his body to stay in Mitzrayim. Simna yadcha tachas yirechi, yosisi imadi chesed ve'emes, al nosik pereini b'Mitzrayim, which Yosef swears to him that he'll do, and we know he did. And then there's the topic of Ephraim and Menashe. Ephraim and Menashe are designated as shiftei koh in this parasha. Ephraim and Menashe keruvein v'shimon yihiyu li. And Yosef is the only shevet that splits. And this is actually what is meant, that Yosef receives the Bechayra. The Bechayra that Yosef receives, as Rashi told us in Parshas Vayishlach, after the story of Reuven, Vayishkav Reuven es Bila Pilegesh Aviv, Vayishma Yisroel, Vayihyu b'nei Yaakov shneim asar, b'nei Leah b'chor Yaakov Reuven. Says Rashi there that even at the time of Kalkola, even when he sinned, he's called Bechor. He's the Bechor le'nachala, he's the Bechor le'avoida, he's the Bechor le'minyan. The le'nitana Bechoyra le'yosef, elo le'inyan ha'shvotim, she'nasa le'shnei shvotim, bababasra kufchav gimel. Meaning that Yosef being the Bechor means that his shevet splits into two, it's like the pishnayim. So Yosef receives that special bracha that his shevet is considered like two shvatim. No other shevet has it. It would seem that Reuven was supposed to have it. Reuven loses that because he was mevalbal yitzuei aviv. And here in this parsha is where it takes place that Yosef is recognized as the bechor. His shevet splits into two. And after that, Yaakov says, "Va'ani bevoyi mi padon mesa olai Rachel be'eretz Kanan baderech." What is this pasuk doing here? And clearly, all the mefarshim have a hard time with this. Rashi himself says the connection is: even though I am being matriach you to bury me in Eretz Yisrael, I know you're upset that I didn't do the same for your mother. So you should know that I buried her on the road. Al pi hadibur, v'ekbereh sham bederech Efros. So then when Klal Yisrael traveled out of Eretz Yisrael during the time of the Churban, which began this week, Asar B'Teves, they'll pass there, Rachel's going to come out of her grave and cry and beg for mercy for them, Karl B'Rabba Nishma, as Rashi brings from Chazal. That doesn't explain why this pasuk is here, because if anything, this pasuk should have been before the beginning of Vayechi, when it says, V'shochafti yem avoysai, unesosani mimitzrayim, ukvartani bikvurasam. And if you're wondering, why didn't I bury your mother there? So that's where this pasuk would belong. V'ani bevoyi mipadon meso alai Rachel is being told to Yosef after Yaakov discusses with him how his shevet is splitting into two. L'chayra, what's v'ani bevoyi mipadon meso alai Rachel have anything to do with the fact that Menashe and Ephraim are kiruvein v'shimon yihyuli? Meaning, it would seem that this pasuk is explaining why Yosef is the Bechor, why his shevet splits into two and not Reuven. What's the connection? Later, Yaakov Avinu benches Menashe and Ephraim, and after he benches Menashe and Ephraim, he says to Yosef, "Hine anoichi meis, v'hoye alokim imachem, v'heshib eschem el eretz avoyseichem." And I gave you, there are two interpretations of what this means. Either literally, the city of Shechem, Shechem Mamish, as Rashi says, which I took away from the Anshei Shechem, who fought me after Shimon and Levi killed those of Shechem. Then it says all the surrounding neighbors came to fight, and Yaakov battled them, and then he conquered Shechem. I'm giving that to you. Second, Bishat Rashi says, is no, it means the Bechoyra. Shechem Echor Hiya Bechoyra. Sheyitlu Bon of Shnei Chalokim. Again, the fact that his children split into two. They're going to take two Chalokim. Shechem is a lotion of Chelek. Shechem Achad Alachecha. The extra portion that you, Yosef, will have over your brothers is what I took away, Miyad HaEmoiri, as Rashi says over here, means from Esav, who did Maisa Emoiri, or who fooled his father, be'imrei piv, be'charbiu v'kashdi, be'tzloisiu, be'ba'usi, be'chachmosiu, be'tfilosi, because obviously the Bechoyra you can't take away with cherev and keshes. Literally, it was through tfila, through bakasha. So, the question is asked here too by Mefarshim. What is this pasuk doing here? Why over here, after again, Menashe and the whole story of Menashe and Ephraim, and then here it gets stronger. In other words, we discuss here how Ephraim is the Bechor and not Menashe. There's a dispute going on between Yosef and Yaakov. Who should be the Bechor? Yosef is baffled. He doesn't understand what Yaakov is doing with his hands. He's putting his right hand on Menashe, on Ephraim. It should be on Menashe. What's going on? And Yaakov says, "I know what I'm doing. Yodati bini yodati. I'm not senile. I know what I'm doing. Gam hu yihielam, gam hu yigdol, but vulem ochiv akotah and yigdal mimenu v'zaru yemelei agoyim." And then Yaakov tells Yosef, "I'm going to die, Hashem will be with you, and I'm giving you the extra portion, the Shechem Achad Alachecha, Shelokachti Miyad HaEmori B'charbiu V'kashti." Why is that being said here? And didn't Yaakov already explain to Yosef before that his Shevet is splitting into two? That's Menashe and Ephraim. So that was already said before. If anything, this should have been said before too. So Rashi also grapples with this. Again, because you are so busy in my kvura, I'm giving you a nachla that you're going to be buried in, which is Shechem. Why is that being mentioned here? If anything, that should be mentioned before. V'shochafti yem avoysai in the sasani mitzrayim. So then that's where it should have said the pasuk of V'ani bevoy mi padon meisolai Rachel, because Yosef is wondering why Rachel doesn't get that privilege. And also that Yosef is going to receive Shechem as a reward for going through the bother, for being matriach to take Yaakov's body out of Mitzrayim. So these two psukim seem to be out of place, l'chayra. And then comes the topic of Yaakov benching all the shvatim. And By one Shevet only do we find Hashem's name mentioned. The Avodas Yisrael, the Koshnitz Magid, tells us that in Parshas Miketz and in Vayigash, the Shem Havaya is not mentioned even once. The first time the Shem Havaya is mentioned is here in the Pasuk Lishuasecha Kivisi Hashem. This Pasuk is in the midst of the bracha that Yaakov is giving to Dun, the lowest of the Shvatim, as mentioned many times. Dun is Minha Yerudin Sheb Shvatim. Dun represents Teves, the month we're in now. Chaydesh Teves is Keneged Dun. When Dun is born, it says Donani Eloikim, the Gam Shama Bekoili, the reason he was called Dun. And yet by his bracha, Lishuasecha Kivisi Hashem, Yudke Vovke. Why is the Shem Havaya mentioned Davka by Shevet Dun, represented by Chodesh Teves? And Lishuasecha, we all know what's the Yeshua of Ha. Lishuasecha is the Yeshua of the Geula that we are all waiting for. That's the true Yeshua. That's the Yeshua of Mashiach. That's the Yeshua of the Geula, Ha'amitis v'Hashlema, the final Geula, the one that we're all yearning for. That's called Yeshuascha. Why is that said by Don? Yeshuascha kivisi Hashem. So Rashi tells us it's referring to the story with Shimshon. Yaakov thought that Shimshon was Mashiach, as the Medrash says. He done Nochash Ali Dorech, Nochash Begematria Mashiach. He saw qualities in Shimshon, who comes from Don, that are similar to Mashiach. And then he sees it can't be him because he's killed. So, Lishuasecha Kivisi Hashem, I hope for your Yeshua, Hashem. I see it's not going to be through Shimshon. I hope for your Yeshua. You'll bring the Yeshua, as the Medrash on this pasuk discusses. But why is it Dafka Don that the Shem Havaya appears here, Lishuasecha Kivisi Hashem? The parasha ends with the burial of Yaakov. Yaakov is brought to Eretz Yisrael. They use entourage, his entire family, and many, many Mitzriim escort him to his resting place in the Maris HaMachpelah. And the Maris HaMachpelah is now closed. That's it. No one else is going to be buried in the Maris HaMachpelah anymore. Chayasara is where it opened. Vayichi is where it closes. Chayasara, it opens. Sarah, then later Avraham, Yitzchak, Rivka, Leah at some point, must have been buried there too. Obviously, she died before Yaakov. And now Yaakov, the last to be buried in the Maris HaMachpelah, including Esav's head. And Esav, as we all know from the Gemara Insight, was killed by Chushim ben Don, who killed Esav while they're waiting to bury Yaakov, and there's a delay, and Esav doesn't want to let, and Naftali runs back to get the title, to get the deed. And in the interim, Chushim chops off his head, and part of it rolls into the Maris HaMachpelah. This takes place here at the end of Parshas Vayechi. But right before that, there's almost a war. A world war is about to take place. Rashi quotes you from the Gemara in Soita. Bo Malchei Canaan unesiyei Yishmael lamulchama. The kings of Canaan, the princes of Yishmael, came to battle. Because they saw this huge group of people, foreigners entering their land. Jews are coming to Eretz Yisrael, so they unite and are about to battle. But then when they saw, it says, the crown of Yosef hanging on the Oren of Yaakov, they realized that it was a Levaya. They also saw the respect. They took off their crowns too, and they surrounded the coffin, Kegoyren Hamukaf Siog Shel Koitzen. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Saita. And this is taught to us at the end of the parasha, towards the end of the parasha. At the very end, Yosef is approached by the Bnei Bilha, who was sent by the rest of the Bnei Yaakov to ask Yosef Mechila for Mechiras Yosef. They noticed a change in his behavior, his attitude to them, if the Yaakov passes away. So they were afraid that maybe he's going to take revenge. So they came and they sent first the Bnei Bilha, probably Dun, as we mentioned a few weeks ago, that Yosef was Makar of the Bnei Bilha. Yosef was Makar, who nar as Bnei Vilha. Yosef was extremely close with the Bnei Vilha. His shita was they had to be Makar of the lower levels, the Bnei Vilha. So the Bnei Vilha was sent to Yosef to ask as messengers that he should please forgive them for what they did. And then they came afterwards, Vayiplu Lefanov. And Yosef tells them the famous words, "Don't be afraid. Ve'atem chashavtem olai ra'a Elohim chashava l'toiva. You perhaps thought bad, but Hashem thought good. This was all for good. L'ma'an asoy kayoim hazeh l'achyos amrov. This whole episode, everything that has been taking place in all the previous parashiyos, Vayeshev, Niketz, Vayigash, now is understood. Everything makes sense now. It was all for a purpose. It was all good. There's nothing bad. It's all good. And he's Menachem them. And then Yosef passes away at the end of the parasha too, and he makes Bnei Yisrael swear that Pokoid Yivkoid Elohim Eschem, make sure to take my bones out of Mitzrayim too. I know I'm not going to have them done. It's not going to happen during your lifetime, because they're not going to allow it after I die, like Yaakov. Like Yaakov's bones were allowed, Yaakov's body was allowed to leave, to be taken out. But at least at one, when you all go out of Mitzrayim, make sure to take my body with you. That's Parshas Vayechi. A few years ago, we went through one of the talks on Parshas Vayechi an idea. Parshas Vayechi is the last Shabbat, it's the last parsha of the entire Sefer Bereishis. Sefer Bereishis is also referred to as by the Ramban as the Sefer Hayitzira. It's the book of creation. So this is the last parsha. The last parsha. This is the acharis of all the parashiyos of Bereishis. So this parasha represents the acharis hayomim, the end of time. In fact, that's where it says acharis for the first time in this week's parasha. Vayikra Yaakov el bonav, vayoymer hey osfu v'agido lochem eisa sheyikra eschem ba'acharis hayomim. Yaakov wants to tell them what's going to happen in the acharis of time, in ikvasi the Mashiach, what's going to happen in the latter generations. As all the Sfarim, the Rishon, and many others would quote this pasuk, "Hey Osfu," when in the time of Acharis Hayom, Jews have to gather together because it's going to be a difficult time. Asher Yikra Eschem, there's going to be Krirus, there's going to be Kfira, there's going to be Mikra Nikris. It's going to be a time of difficulty. So you have to gather together. Jews have to be together and encourage one another, because the Acharis Hayom is a difficult time. Yikavtsu v'shim b'nei Yaakov. So this parsha is associated with Acharis Hayom. That's why it's a very difficult parsha. It's a parsha stuma. Everything is closed. We're in the state of concealment. We find over and over again in this parsha histalkus hashchina. The Shechina leaves Yaakov Avinu. He wants to reveal the Kates, Nistalka Mimenu Shechina. He wants to bench Ephraim and Manasseh, Nistalka Shechina Mimenu, because he saw Yeravim and Achav coming out of them. Later, Nistam Mimenu, and then of course Yaakov passes away. That's the end of the era of the Ovis. Yosef passes away. It's a parasha in this parasha there's a lot of concealment. The first individual who dies of a sickness is in this week's parasha. Yaakov Avinu was the first one to get sick. Chazal tell us that before Yaakov, no one ever got sick. Rabbi Kiva Eger brings it down in the Gemara and the Gilyon HaShas from the Midrashim that they used to sneeze and they would die. That's why when someone sneezes, you say Gesundheit. But Lang Leben, not the way it used to be, that a sneeze meant death. They had no time to write a will. They would just die suddenly. So Yaakov davened that people before they die should get sick. That doesn't mean it has to be a long sickness, but it knows that the family should know, so they'll be able to speak to them before. It won't be sudden. So who was the first one to get sick? Yaakov Avinu. Hine avicha chayla. Hine is an expression of behold, never happened before. Your father is sick. Why is that such a... At the age of 130, it would make sense that it's possible for such a thing to happen. That was unusual. Type of sickness which led to death. It never happened before. Hine avicha chayla. So this is a parsha of sesima, concealment, choshech, galus. The galus intensifies in parshas Vayechi. Nistemu einehem v'libam shel Yisrael mitzores hashibud. As the Sfasema says, it was more beruchnius. The actual galus, the shibud, didn't start until after all the shvatim passed away. That's next week's parsha. Vayavidu mitzrayim es b'nei Yisrael b'forech. Doesn't happen until after all the shvatim passed away, until Levi, who was the last of the shvatim to die. This was a shibud ruchni. The shibud ruchni, the eyes and the hearts, not the bodies. The einehem, the libam shel Yisrael, nisnu mitzaras hashibud. Vayikrivu yemei Yisrael amus. Like in our generation, we live in a generation where there's concealment, especially beruchnius. There's confusion. There's no clarity. Many people are sick. It's a sick generation, literally sick. Many people are sick begashmius. Many people are sick beruchnius. Many people are sick mentally and emotionally, more than probably in any other generation. With all the affluence, with all the technology, there's so much depression, there's so much sickness right before Bias HaMashiach. Right before the revelation, there's concealment. Right before the time that there'll be no one who'll ever be sick again, there's sickness. Right before light, there's dark. Vayihi erev, vayihi voker. The time period that we're in now, right before Bias HaMashiach, is Parshas Vayechi. It's a Parshas Stuma. The Parsha of Golus. And Parshas Vayechi is always read in the vicinity of Asara B'Teves. Asara B'Teves was this Sunday. So we are now in the week of Asara B'Teves. So in the week of Asara B'Teves, we learn a Parsha that fits very much with the mode of Asara B'Teves. The Pasuk says in the Bracha that Hashem, that Yaakov gives to Binyamin, V'lo Erev Yechalek Sholol. Rashi says V'lo Erev means Af mishetishka shimshon shal Yisrael al yedei Nebuchadnezzar sheyiglein lebovel. V'lo erev refers to the evening of Klal Yisrael. When did the sun of Klal Yisrael set? When the Nebuchadnezzar exiled them. That started this week. That started Asara B'Teves with the siege around Yerushalayim. Samach melech bovel al Yerushalayim. V'lo erev. And Rashi here brings at the beginning, as we mentioned before, Rachel is buried by Derech because Kishahigla oisam nevuzaradon v'hayu oivrim derech sham yotzos rochel al kivru boichu mevakesh saleim rachamim. So these are all hints of galus, of exile, of churban in Parshas Vayechi, the last of Sefer Bereishis, and the week always of Asara B'Teves. How did this all start? Now Yaakov Avinu, as we know, lived 33 years less than he was supposed to. We see at the beginning of the parasha, Vayichi Yaakov be'eretz Mitzrayim shva esrei shona, Vayichi yimei Yaakov shnei chayov sheva shonim v'arboim u'ma'az shona. That's how long he lived, 147 years. So right away the question is why? His father lived 180. His grandfather lived 175. Why does he only live 147? Says the Balat Turim, the famous Medrash. One reason was because he said, whoever you will find in their possession, the trophim, Lavan came running after Yaakov, Parshas Vayetze. Who stole my idols? Who stole my trophim? So Yaakov says, Im asher timtze es elokecha lo yichyeh. Yaakov cursed, whoever you will find it in his or her possession shall not live. Not knowing, of course, that it was Rachel who took it. And we all know that as a result of that klola, Rachel died. But as a result of that klola, Yaakov lost 33 years. Yichye, says the Balat Turim, is begematria 33. So 33 years of his life were taken away. He was supposed to live as long as Yitzchak. He lost 33 years. There's another medrash that says that it was because of a different reason. We mentioned this last week, I believe. When Paray asks Yaakov, how old are you? So Yaakov says, Yemei shnei megurai, shloishim u'ma'as shana me'at viro'im, hoyu yemei shnei chayai. My days were very little and bad. V'loi hisigu es yemei shnei chayai, v'isai b'mei megureihem. Rashi says, v'loi hisigu b'toiva. They didn't reach in good. I didn't really have a good life. Yaakov is complaining. He's being misra'im, sort of. He's saying, I had a bad life. I had a very difficult life. He certainly did have a difficult life. No question about it. In all these two psukim here, Paray asking how old you are, and Yaakov answering the way he answered, there are 33 words, says the Medrash, so he lost 33 years of his life. So it's really, both are true, obviously. He lost 33 years because he complained. But he had already said lo yichyeh before that. He already had cursed that whoever has the trophim won't live. It ended up being Rachel. And he loses 33 years because of that. What's the connection? The emes is, we once spoke about this, could I repeat it? It's probably some chedushim. It all happened because Rachel died. If Rachel wouldn't have died, none of the tragedies would have happened. And if we go back, to the story of Yosef and the brothers, the story of Reuven. Reuven is Mevalbel Yitzuei Aviv. Reuven loses the Bechayra. Why? Because he moved the bed of his father from Bilhah's tent back to Leah, because he felt it was belittling for Leah. Rachel passed away, so Yaakov now goes into Bilhah's tent. Bilhah is just a Shivcha. The Shvatim held, as we mentioned a few weeks ago, their Shita was that Bilhah and Zilpah are Shvachos. They're not considered Neshei Yaakov. They're not on the same level as Rachel and Leah. So, of course, when Rachel is alive, all the Shvatim admitted, they understood that she's Eshes Yaakov. She's Akeres Habayis. She's the one who Yaakov really went to love and for. But now that Rachel is not there, so Leah should be the Akeres Habayis. And the fact that Yaakov put the bed in Bilhah's tent upset Reuven so much that he was Mevalbel Yitzuei Aviv. And as a result, he loses the Bechayra that we mentioned before. Had Rachel not died, that wouldn't have happened. Had Rachel not died, Reuven never would have been mevalbel the bed. So L'chayra, Reuven never would have lost the Bechayra. One of the reasons that the brothers sold Yosef, besides all that we read in Parashas Vayeshev, was concerning the chaloimos that Yosef has, which indicate that he's, according to them at least, that he's dreaming about ruling over them. So they felt that these dreams are not Ruach HaKodesh. They're just what he thinks about. And the biggest proof is that it can't be true because Rachel's not alive. In the dream, Yosef dreams, who's the sun? Yaakov. Who's the moon? It must be Rachel. Who are the 11 stars? The Shvatim. So when he says over the dream, in the words Asher Cholamta, you see, Asher Cholamta Havoi, you have Reish Ches Lamed Mem Tovhei, Rachel Mesa. The dream can't be true, because the Areach can't be Rachel, because Rachel's dead. So that part of the dream isn't true. The rest of the dream isn't true. As Rashi brings, but for who loy hayo yodeya shehadvarim magiyim lebilha shegidlosay ki'imai. There was no sheker in the dream at all. Bilha was considered Yosef's mother. Bilha brought him up. And we'll see soon, Bilha had tremendous schar because she did that. Bilha was megadol Yosef, therefore Bilha is considered Yosef's mother, and that's who the Yoreach is in the dream. But at that time, the Shvatim don't recognize that. Reuven doesn't recognize that, because Reuven still believes that he was right for being mevalbel Yitzuei Aviv. Because why should his father put his tent in Bilha's tent? It should have been in Leah's tent. And then we find later on, as we move on in Parshas Vayeshev, the Pasuk says, Shimon says to Levi, let's kill the dreamer. And the pasuk ends off, and then we'll see what will be with his dreams. Says Rashi, they never said that. They weren't sarcastic. They didn't say, well, now we'll see what will be with his dreams. Because of course his dreams won't be fulfilled if he'll be killed. So who said that? Ruach HaKodesh Omeres Kein. There was a baskel that came out and said, the next pasuk, Vayishma Reuven Vayatzilehu Miyodam. What did Reuven hear? Reuven heard. Heard what? Farshim asked, what did he hear? Some say he understood. Vayishma had different meanings. Says the Yalkut Reuveni. Reuven heard that baskel. Reuven heard the Venira Mayir Chalimaisav. So Reuven understood that was Ruach HaKodesh, that Yosef's dreams are Ruach HaKodesh. Yosef's dreams are a nevuah. It's going to be fulfilled. That's why Reuven attempts right away to save him. And he says, Loi naken unofesh. And he says, Al tishpachu dam. Because Reuven heard the baskel. He heard the venira mayu chalimoysef. And then we find later, by Yoshev Reuven el habor. Reuven returns to the bar. V'hine ein Yosef ba'bor. Where was he? He was just there. He's the one who said, let's not kill him. So where did he run? Says Rashi, he was osuk besakel yuvetanisa. He was busy doing tshuva for being mevalbel Yitzuei Aviv. Now, this is the time to do tshuva for something from 9 years ago. This is many years before. All of a sudden, Reuven's in a pit with snakes and scorpions. Yosef's in a pit with snakes and scorpions, and Reuven's running to do tshuva now. And as a result, he ended up missing the time when they pulled him out of the pit and sold him to slavery. Why is he being osuk besakoy v'tanisoy now? But with this, it's very good. He wasn't osuk besakoy v'tanisoy till now, because until now he believed he did the right thing. But when he heard the baskel v'nira mayu chalimoysov, when he heard that means that in Shamayim, they're saying that Yosef's dreams are going to be fulfilled, he realized the Yoreach is not Rachel. The Areach is Bilha. That means Bilha is considered to be Yosef's mother. Bilha has the same status as Rachel and Leah. He had no right then to move the bed from Bilha's tent. He realized he did something wrong. Now he's doing tshuva. First now, he's Osuk B'sakli V'tanizai. But only he heard that Basko. The rest of the Shvatim didn't hear it. So therefore they continued, and they ended up selling Yosef. And it's not until later when they see that it was all emes, when they all ended up bowing to Yosef. So if not for the fact that Rachel died, the Pashtus, if not for the fact that Rachel died, the brothers wouldn't have sold him into slavery. They would have known that this dream is emes. They wouldn't have questioned it. The question was, the reason why they doubted it is because one part of it is for sure Dvarim B'Teil, and one part is Sheker, because Rachel is dead. But if Rachel wouldn't have been dead, the dream would have made the dream would make sense. The Shemesh is Yaakov, the Areach is Rachel, and the Achal Asakai Chavim are the Shvatim. So Yaakov blames himself. Yaakov blames himself for all the tzoras that he had. Yaakov says, "Va'ani bevoyi mi padon meisa olai Rachel." Yaakov is trying to explain to Yosef, do you know why you're getting the Bechaira? You're getting your shevet's being split into two. It was supposed to be Reuven. Reuven lost it because Reuven was mevalbel yitzuei aviv. Reuven didn't know that Bilha is on the same level, that Bilha was megadol you like a mother, and therefore she's considered your mother. Reuven didn't understand that until he heard the baskel, but Reuven didn't understand that. If Rachel wouldn't have died, the Bechaira never would have been taken away from Reuven, because Reuven wouldn't have been mevalbel yitzuei aviv. It's because of me. It's my fault, sort of. It's because of me that Rachel died. And because Rachel died, all the tzoras that I endured happened after that. With Reuven, with Yosef, with Binyamin, with Shimon. It's all because of this. Because if Rachel didn't die, this never would have happened. The Shvatim would have recognized that Yosef really is the main child. Rachel is Akeres Habayis. If Rachel would have still been alive, most of this wouldn't have happened. Bevoyi mi padan meisa olai Rachel is begematria asara b'teves. Golas, which Golas started from Golas Mitzrayim. Golas Mitzrayim is the shoirish of all the Golias. If not for this, there wouldn't have been a Golas Mitzrayim. If not for Golas Mitzrayim, there would be no other Golas either. All because of meisa Rachel. All because Rachel died. And that's why right here, Rashi tells us that Rachel's death ends up serving later as a nechama, because Rachel is the one who's boicha and bevakeshes rachamim aleihem. That's what eventually happens as a result. But if had Rachel not died, though, this wouldn't have been necessary. So Yaakov is saying this pasuk here. This is not an answer. Of course, that Rashi is saying one shav. We're still giving a different interpretation. We're not chas v'shalom negating the other mefarshim. The reason why the pasuk is here, after Yosef receives this bracha that his shevet splits, and he has now Menashe and Ephraim, why is he the Bechor? Because Reuven lost it. Why did Reuven lose it? Only because Rachel died. Had Rachel not died, this wouldn't have happened. So, v'ani bevoy mi padon, meisa olai Rachel. And in other words, he's blaming himself. It was because I said, lo yichya. Now, if we go further on, when Yaakov and Yosef are disputing, should Menashe be the Bechor? Should Ephraim be the Bechor? So, Yaakov is trying to explain to Yosef, Bechorah is not something that you're born with necessarily. It's not genetic. You have to deserve it. The raya is, look at me and look at you. I shouldn't be the Bechor. Esav is the Bechor. I took it away from him. He doesn't deserve it. The Amori is Esav here. Look, I gave you the Bechor. Shchem means the Bechor, as Rashi says. Even though you're not the oldest, Reuven is the oldest. But Reuven lost it because he was mevalbel yitzuei aviv. You got it. So, and just like I got it, I took it away from Esav, who was really supposed to be the Bechor. I took it away from him, and I gave it to you, even though Reuven should have got it. And now I'm giving it to Ephraim. He's trying to explain to him. Yosef is complaining. Menashe is the Bechor. Why are you putting your right hand on Ephraim? Bechor doesn't work that way, Yaakov is explaining to Yosef. You have to deserve it. So, therefore, just like you got it, and just like I got it, Ephraim is getting it. It works. That's why this pasuk is here. And you understand the reason is because of what Reuven did. And how did I get it? I took it away from the Amori. Who's that? Esav. So he doesn't deserve it. So too, between the two of them, Menashe and Ephraim, I know that Ephraim deserves it. Ephraim is greater than Menashe. From him comes Yehoshua ben Nun, as Rashi brings it. Vilame Torah li Yisrael. So now the psukim fit according to this interpretation. But as a result of all of this, Yaakov was bitsar. Yaakov complained. It really goes together. If not for the fact that Rachel died, had Yaakov, in other words, not said lo yichye, Rachel wouldn't have died. A lot of these tzaras wouldn't have happened. Yaakov wouldn't have said ma'at v'royim ha'yimei chayei. 22 years he suffered as a result of Mrs. Rachel. Besides before Rachel's, after Rachel's death. 22 years that he suffered because the brothers sold Yosef and Yaakov doesn't know the whereabouts of Yosef is a result of Rachel's death, as we just mentioned. So the fact that he said lo yichye, that caused that Rachel died, and that was the reason why he said ma'at v'ra'im hoyu yimei shnei chayai v'lo yisigu b'toyve, as Rashi says, b'toyve. So Yaakov complains, so he loses 33 years. Tziyadua, the 33rd word in Parshas Bereishis is toiv. The Reb Tzaddik brings this down based on the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Nun Hey, where the Gemara says that someone who sees the letter Tess in a dream, good will come to him. Because the Tess, the first Tess in Chumash, is the word Toiv, mentioned at the beginning of Bereishis Vayar Elohim Es Ha'or Ki Toiv. Toiv is good. So if someone sees a Tess in a dream, good will happen to him. Of course, the Gemara asks, there are other psukim that start with a test that are not good. So this one, this is the first one. So it says, Rabbi Tzaddik, from here we see the shayrish of every letter and every word in the Torah is the one that's mentioned first. What's the first test? Toiv. Toiv is the 33rd word of Chumash. The number 33, as we spoke like Ba'imah time, is a number associated with good and with revelation. When one recognizes that everything is good, in other words, that even that which we perceive to be bad is good, that's gal. Gal einai v'yabita neflois mitarezecha. Gilui. Gilui means when things are revealed and you see it clearly, that's good. When it's good when you see everything clear. When you don't see everything clear, you don't recognize the good. Toiv, the 33rd word of Chumash, as Rashi says, that means the Or HaGanuz. So Yaakov was lacking in that. Because the fact that Yaakov complained and did not recognize that even the tragedies of his life were all good. So he loses 33 years, Dafka. Lamed Gimel. He's lacking in that perception. That's why the Balaturim brings that David HaMelech, on the other hand, recognized that even the tragedies were good. Mizmor LeDavid Bevarchei Mipnei Avshalom Benoi. He sang when Avshalom was chasing him out of his house, out of his palace. Who sings when a son rebels? Mizmor LeDavid, because David recognized that everything is good, even that which we perceive as bad. Yaakov, on his level, well, clearly not Chas V'Shalom putting Yaakov down, but Yaakov on his level, I mean, Chazal say, this was the reason why he lost the 33 years, because he said, Ma'at v'ra'im hoyu yimei shnei chayei. That's why Yosef in the parasha says to the Shvatim, who are coming to ask him Achila, V'yatem chashavtem olai ra'a, Elohim chashav l'toiva. There's no bad, it's all good. There's no such thing as it's all good. Yosef recognizes this. Especially here in the Vayechi, at the end of it all, Yosef says, let's look back. Don't you see that everything was really good? The fact that I was sold into slavery, as we mentioned 2 weeks ago, Yosef was always happy and he was always dancing. So come to the recognition now that even that which we perceive as tragedy and bad and concealment is really all good. Teves starts with a tes. Teves, Teves. L'cha'ira, this is not a good month. In this month, so much tragedy occurred. This is the month of Asara B'Teves. Ezra passed away. The Leidas Eisei HaIsh, the Besura Rav of Churban Beis HaMikdash, arrived in Babylon. Hey, Teves. The Torah was translated into Greek. Teves is L'chayr, not a good month. And the Shem Havaya of Chodesh Teves, the Tzir of Shem Havaya, is from the words L'Hashem Itiyu Nereimim HaShemoy, which means to praise Hashem. Last week, we began our talk, why Vayigash has 106 psukim, and the simon is Yehalalel. We just didn't finish. So continuing with this theme, Yehalalel. Vayigash is always read in Teves, and it's always the Shabbos after Chanukah. Chanukah is the yontif of Lehoidais Ulahalel. A Yid has to constantly thank Hashem, not just for open miracles, not just for that which we perceive as good, but even that which we think is not good. Even Chayav Adam Mevarech Al Harah, Kashem Shu Mevarech Al HaToyva, because it's really all good. And one day we'll recognize that it's all good. Teves Dafka, a month in which would seem on the surface that so much bad happened, is called Teves. It starts with a test. Teves, it's really good. LaHashem iti on the Raimah Bashamaya. Yid continues to thank and praise Hashem constantly, even when it seems like one tragedy after another. Yahalalel. Teves is represented by Dun. Dun is the lowest of the Shvatim. But Dun has a schus. Dun is the Rosh Hamachane. There were four Rosh Hamachanos that traveled in the desert. There was Yehuda, there was Reuven, there was Ephraim, and there was Dun. Now we can understand Yehuda, he's the Melech. Reuven was the oldest of Leah's children. Ephraim is the Bechor of Yosef, and Yosef is the oldest of Rachel. But Dun is the oldest of Bilhah. Not God. God is not. God is the oldest of Zilpah, but God is not from the Rosh HaMachanos. Davka Degel Machane Don Sofoino Litzavoysom. So Don is Zoyche to be the Rosh of the Degel of his Machane. Don, it represents Teves. Teves is equated to Nisan. Don Yodin Amoy Ka'achat Shifta Yisrael. Rashi brings in the Pasuk, this week's parasha, that Shimshon is compared to David HaMelech. Shimshon will judge like David. Ke'echot Shifta Yisrael Kemiyuchat Shebeshvatim Hu David Shebami Yehuda. Don is the lowest of the Shvatim. He's being equated to Yehuda. David, the greatest of the Shvatim. Like Bezalel and Aholiyah together build the Mishkan. Don Gur Aryeh, Moshe Rabbeinu says in the Parshas B'Zayis HaBracha. Aryeh, that's Yehuda. Here, Don is called the Nachash. But the Avoida is that Don should be elevated to the status of Yehuda. Teves should be elevated to the status of the months where we see the good, even though in Teves we do not. Degel Machane Don Sofoino Litzavoysov is Begematria Asara B'Teves. Asara B'Teves will be a Yomtiv. Asara B'Teves is a day in which the Pasuk promises us in Zechariah that it's going to be a Yomtiv L'Sosainu L'Simcha L'Mayadim Toivim, which means Asara B'Teves is a Yomtiv. It will be a Yomtiv, so it's already now a Yomtiv. We just don't see it yet, like Tisha B'Av. So Don will also be elevated. Degel Machane Don Sofoino Litzavoysov Begematria Asara B'Teves. Bilhah was zeicha that Don should be the Roish of the Machane because Bilhah was Megadol Yosef. Bilhah has the same status as Rachel. She's the Yoreach in the Chaloim. That was the mistake. The Shvatim, Reuben didn't understand that. They didn't realize that the Bnei Bilhah are just as much part of Klal Yisrael as the rest, as they all are. That was Yosef. Yosef understood that for who Nar as Bnei Bilhah. Because Yosef's Avodah was being Maila all the Shvatim, all of Klal Yisrael. That's the Avodah of Mashiach ben Yosef and eventually Mashiach ben David, the two that unite. That's why Dafke in the Bracha of Don, Lishuosecha Kivisi Havaya, Kivisi Hashem. The Shem Havaya is Dafke in Don. The Shem Havaya, which is the Shem of Rachamim, the Shem of Lamailim and Ateva, is first revealed after Miketz and Vayigash. It's not mentioned at all. Where is it saying for the first time? Dafke in the Bracha of the Yaakov is the Don, which Don represents Teves, indicating Dafke Teves, Dafke Don, the lowest of the Shvatim, Teves, the lowest of the months, will be elevated, will be a month in which the Aschalt of the Geula will begin, although it was the month of the Aschalt of the Paranusa happened, which is why Asara B'Teves is so chomer, as the Avudra Ham writes, that if it would fall out on Shabbos, you'd have to fast. The only fast that it falls out on a Friday. Nevertheless, if the Aschalt of the Geula was then, the Aschalt of the Paranusa, the Aschalt of the Geula could be in Chodesh Teves. The Imre Noyam writes that Makas B'Choyres was supposed to be in Teves, because he has the order that the Makkah started in Nisan. So if the Makkah started in Nisan, so that means Choshech was in Kislev. So what happened in Teves? There were no Makkahs, not in Teves, Shvat, Adar, until Nisan was Makkahs Bechiris. So Makkahs Bechiris was supposed to be in Teves, but it was pushed off, indicating that one day Teves will be Zeichet to a Bechina of Makkahs Bechiris. In fact, Lamakeh Mitzrayim Bechirehem, that's when the Bechireh Mitzrayim fought the Mitzrayim for Pari and his army, because they said, what's going to be? We're going to all be killed. There was a civil war. That was on Yud Nisan, which Yud Nisan ki yadu as keneged Don. That's when the Yom HaAsiri Livnei Don is Yud Nisan. That's when that the Nasi of Don, Achiezer and Amishadoi, was makriv his carbon. So Yud Nisan, the 12 days of Nisan, would correspond to the 12 Shvatim. Yud Nisan corresponds to the 10th month, which is Teves, and that's the day of Lamakim Mitzrayim B'Chayreyim. So Don, Teves, is destined to be a day of Makas B'Chayreyim. It's destined to be a month in which the punishment of the nations that started in Teves, it all started, the Aschalt of the Paranusa all began in Teves, with Asara B'Teves. The Geula will also start in Teves. And the Bechayr will be revealed. The whole idea of Lamakai Mitzrayim B'chayrei, Makas B'chayrei, was to reveal that we are Hashem's Bechor. B'ni B'chayrei Yisrael. It doesn't go by genetics. The Goyim claim they are the Bechor. The Goyim claim that Eretz Yisrael belongs to them. We see what's going on right now. Next week, there's supposed to be a 70 nations uniting together in France. It's Mavel al Orion that this is happening in front of our eyes. Mulchemes Goy Gumogeg, clearly Goy Gumogeg, Gematria 70. The nations getting together now to literally split up Eretz Yisrael, Val Yerushalayim, Yadu Goyro. Similar to what happens here at the end of the parasha. Parshas Vayechi, which is the parsha representing the Acharis Hayomim, where all the nations gather when Yaakov is coming back to Eretz Yisrael with the Shvatim, that symbolizes Klal Yisrael returning to Eretz Yisrael. The Goyim get together and unite L'Mulchama, but then they see the Aroyin Shel Yosef. They see Kisrei Shel Yosef, rather, told about Aroyin Shel Yaakov. They stand in awe and they back off. And they humble themselves, which hopefully we'll all be zeichet to see. Right now we see how the nations at Lomba Rokshu Goyim Elumim Yegurik. Like the David HaMelech writes in Capital Beis of Tehillim, it's referring to Mulchemes Goyim Umagoyim. When did we ever hear such a thing? With the number 70 mentioned in all the news reports, that there's the 70 nations are gathering together in France to discuss the status of Eretz Yisrael, the status of Yerushalayim, B'yomeinu Mamash, in these days, in these waning days of the Obama presidency. So clearly there are major things that are happening in front of our eyes in Chodesh Teves. And Parshas Vayechi, the last parsha of Sefer Bereishis, represents the last generation, the Acharis Hayomim, the Acharis HaNefoshos, the Acharis HaZman, the Acharis HaMokoyim. This is the parsha, and the parsha is called Vayechi. Chiyus. What's the Chiyus in this parsha? Everyone's dying in this parsha. What's the Chiyus? Yaakov passes away. Yosef passes away. It's a parsha stuma. It's concealment. The parsha is called Vayechi. Because at the end we will see Elokim Chashav al Toivel. Elokim Chashav al Toivel is B'gematria Melech HaMashiach. At the end there's an opening. There's a revach between Vayechi and Shemois. There's a space. There's Sefer HaGeula. Shemois is Sefer HaGeula. We go from Vayechi, from Sefer Bereishis, Sefer Yetzirah, Sefer HaYoshar, to Sefer Shemois, to Sefer HaGeula. It starts off Stuma, but it ends off Psucha, with a big, wide Revach. Chazak, Chazak, V'nis Chazek. This tremendous Chizuk. We see, we hear the words of Yosef. Elokim Chashav Eletoiva. It's all good. Pokoit Yivkei Elokim Eschem. The end will be good. Hashem is going to remember us. He's going to take us out of Golus. We should talk about Zeichah. In Chodesh Teves, the Aschalt of the Geula. And whatever is going to happen in the next few days, it should all be thwarted. Utsu Eitz of Esufar, Dabru Dov, Velayokim Ki Imanu Keil. Yes, true. Chazal, Gupsukim do tell us that it's going to be Melchemes Goy Gumogoy. But Tzadikim said it doesn't have to be so bad. It could be Bedibur. We could be yait, we could be zeicher that it should be only bedibur, only be machshava, and not that it should actually happen. We will be zeicher taka that this teves should be teves, a month of good. La Hashem iti and the Rebbeim Hashemai, that Tziru Shem Avayi of Chodesh Teves. We should be zeicher that Asara b'teves will be the sapech till the sasein or the simcha or the mayadim teves. And these days in general, which is under the domain of Esav, under the domain of the Satan, should be the sapech and to be months. A month equated to Nisan, Don Yadin Amik Achat Shifte Yisrael, Don Gur Aryeh, and just like Nisan is a month of Geula, so will Teves be a month of Geula. And may we see it with our own eyes, not just believe it, we will see it, that Elokim Chashav Eletoiva. Good evening.